my wishes come true. When I hold on to you, when I feel your love grow, all my doubts start to go away. You lift me up, love. Nothing feels wrong to me, and my eyes can see all that's meant to be for me. Your easy way strong, and there is no wrong, and to me you bring.
That's James Bruce Moore with Soul's Journey from his new album. It's entitled Soul's Journey Home. He's my special guest on Folk Roots Radio today. We're at the Folk Music Ontario Conference. He's come into our little mobile studio that some people would say is just a hotel room, but anyone who spends any time at this conference knows that hotel rooms are where a lot of the magic happens. And I hope in the next 30 minutes we can have some magic as we talk about James' new album, which, as I mentioned, is Soul's Journey Home. Very personal record, James, isn't it?
It is. It's really reflective in many ways of my story. And it's a story of growth and a rising level of consciousness. And it came during a rather tumultuous period in my life. But the music ultimately just flowed out of me, and there seemed to be a wonderful continuity with all of these songs that really reflected this really autobiographical story.
And I think probably we should put it into context by mentioning your first album, which was entitled Elizabeth, which
yes.
Was a tribute to your late wife, is it?
Yeah, so this first album was finished on September 30th, a few years back. And it was just a wonderful, enlightening experience. It was all done live off the floor, which is something that is not done anymore. It was just a tremendous vibe that happened over a 2.5-day period. And about 2 days later, my wife of 36 years, who was a beautiful Swedish lady, was diagnosed with leukemia. So for the next 2 months, we dealt with those particular issues. She was a very, very courageous lady, never complained about anything at all, had been a vegetarian for 30 years, etc. And ultimately she passed away about 8 weeks later. So the album was really put away. We'd done all the music, everything had been packaged. And then as the months passed and I felt stronger following that, I decided it was very, very important to get this album out. And I decided to title it after her name. And ultimately ended up, I wanted to give something back. I wanted to give something back to society, to the people that had helped us through this ordeal. And I decided to create the Elizabeth Moore Leukemia Fund at Princess Margaret Hospital, which I call the City of Care. Everyone in that hospital was so forthcoming and helpful and understanding. So I wanted to give something back, which is why I dedicated the album to her. And had all the proceeds from it actually go to the Elizabeth Moore Leukemia Fund there, which is still being funded.
And this new album, was that a progression of, I was going to say, the need for personal growth that came about because of this loss that you've experienced
in
your life?
Yes, it was a very, very difficult period for me, and I've had many discussions since then about this whole concept of grief and how we process and deal with it, and how I grew up Anglican and there are certain concepts that we all sort of grew up with, but I was completely unprepared for the separation, the grief, everything that impacted me. And as a result, I struggled for a long, long time. I really hit the depths, I think, of my life in many ways. I've got two daughters, and we all sort of struggled to find our footing again. And throughout this period, I could feel I was growing in my level of consciousness. I was becoming more aware. I was becoming stronger in many ways, independent in many ways, self-sufficient in many ways. A marriage of 36 years with your soulmate, it tends to create a certain level of communication and a relationship that is only survives with two. For me to survive as one, it took a great deal of energy and courage. So these songs actually continued to evolve as I was grieving, as I was growing in my level of consciousness. And I was really, in the back of my mind, I was trying to give in a kind way, in an instructive way, something back to society. I was trying to impart the lessons that I personally was learning, because I could only relate to what I was all about. And the ultimate lesson, Jen, was just love. Love had to, self-love, self-acceptance, loving of our fellow beings, loving of life. That's the message that's infused in all of these songs, which really is what the album is all about. The soul's journey home, the synonym for home is really love. It's a journey to to love in all its definitions.
Now, this album has been described as chamber folk because of the use of the string section. I think there's a 9-piece string section on this album. We started off with Soul's Journey, which when I first listened to it, what struck me was just a very, I wasn't going to say dramatic, but it was an introduction to the album that really made you sort of sit up and say, oh, this is a little different.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Is that a style that gets added in? I mean, was your intent to work with a string section? I think the first album, I think, had maybe more of a jazz overtone to it than this album. But is it the intent by having the string section work with you to try and create something that perhaps has a bit of an ethereal quality, even though it's a singer-songwriter album?
I have to admit it was not my intent. And it was just the genius of George Kohler, who, with his tremendous musical vision, his oral vision, he said to me one day, I want you to come in and play these songs for somebody by the name of Aaron Davis. And I didn't know Aaron Davis, I was ashamed to say. In any event, went in on a cold February afternoon, played my songs acoustically into Aaron's laptop, and he went away and wrote these string arrangements. And so the string arrangements, I think, were really to, in George's mind, and I have to give him the credit for it completely, he saw a way to embellish these songs in such a way that people would, you know, wake up and take notice of them in a different way. And the whole concept of chamber folk really evolved serendipitously. I think it was it wasn't my intent, that's for sure, but I'm sure I'm delighted with the result.
Well, it's funny because it suddenly makes you sit up and take notice, and then I think pay more attention to the actual subject matter, because from my point of view as a broadcaster, what it did was it actually provoked me to think more about the individual songs, but then actually move from there into exploring more about your background and then learning more about your first album. And, you know, it's obviously you learn more about the story behind that how that comes together.
Thank you.
I'm curious as to your musical background, because you got these two albums. You know, we mentioned that you're married for 30 plus years.
Yes.
Have you always been a musician, or is this something that you have come to a little later in life?
It's a very, very good question. I've always been a musician, but not a full-time musician. I got into music in my teens. I grew up in Toronto, had a rock and roll band, did all those sorts of things, trotted off to London and became a professional bass player, played with the London Jazz Workshop, was playing with some bands over there at the time. It was a very, very difficult existence. Had all of my gear stolen. We had all of our stuff in a flat in Earl's Court. Everything was wiped out. Musicians didn't have any insurance in those days. So I came back to Toronto where I was born and did some more work and then went back. And I decided at that point that I wanted to raise a family, you know, get married, raise kids. And so I left the professional music world and got involved in the business, but had always been writing, always been playing, and people got tired of listening to my bass solo, so I learned to play the six-string guitar, and then just writing continued to evolve after that.
I'd like to play another song from the album, and I thought the one we should play is Roy Benavides, which is a story song. It tells about the immense courage of one man who went on to be an inspiration for many.
Yes.
Can you talk about why you wanted to write this song and what it means
to
you?
Yes, I can. Thank you. While I was going through my own difficulties, which included some health challenges following my wife's passing, I picked up a book by Senator John McCain titled Courage. And courage is a very, very difficult concept, and we have a loose definition of what it is. But he had written a book and cited, I think, 8 examples of courage that he was aware of, and Roy Benavides was chapter 1. And I was so taken by the tremendous spirit of this man who came from, you know, very, very humble background, who, as I say in the song, where does this come from? This tremendous strength and ability to move beyond your fears, and that's really what courage is, to me. And I was so intrigued by him, and I read more and more about him. And he was an unacknowledged hero forever. What had happened later in his life, when he went back to Texas, where he was born with his family, a local newspaper editor found out about him and did a two-page spread. And this two-page spread garnered all sorts of attention in America, and people didn't believe the story. So the newspaper actually had to scour the world to look for some of his compatriots who said, yes, indeed, this did happen. And so ultimately he was almost lionized, and Ronald Reagan presented him with the Congressional Medal of Honor in 1980, I think. And so I was just so taken by it. Like the song Residential School, which appears on my first album, I was so emotionally driven by this, the song almost wrote itself.
Let's listen to that just now. This is James Bruce Moore with Roy Benavides from his wonderful new album, Soul's Journey Home. And you're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
Him. There are few like him in a world that's gone wrong. Roy Benavides. There are few like him in a world that's gone wrong. Master Sergeant, sharecropper's son, tours in Nam in 64 and 68. Friends got surrounded in dense jungle fire. 12 men alone, defeated right away. Get us out of here, get us out quick. But the copters couldn't make it, left lickety-split. Roy jumped on one, returned to the scene. Four already dead and no one to lead. Roy Benavides. Few like him in a world that's gone wrong. With just one knife and a medic bag, he made the sign of the cross and he jumped. 10 feet from the copter, he rolled in the moss. It felt like he had been punched. Ran 70 yards to his comrades in arms, the bullets flying everywhere at him. Got shot in the leg, got shot in the face and head. His chances started to look pretty slim. Roy Benavides. Few like him in a world that's gone wrong. More wounds in his stomach, shrapnel in his back. He kept his comrades in arms and thought of his attack. You can't describe the sheer will he had. The urge to keep going, to keep his friends alive. Most men would have crumbled, collapsed in their blood and died. But Roy kept on going till he was satisfied. Kept up his vigil for 6 hours straight. He treated their wounds right away. Ordered their strikes, he wasn't the norm. Roy Benavides, human thunderstorm. Where does it come from, this madness and strength? The courage to move beyond all your fears. Where does it come from, this madness and strength? The sheer force of Roy's courage will outlast his years. Roy got them all out, not a man left behind. The dead and alive all returned. He got back the base, they assumed he had died. A body bag and shroud to be sure. He spat in Doc's face, he hadn't succumbed. Sent to Saigon for surgery, his battles were won. Roy Benavidez, you like him in a world that's gone wrong. Roy Benavidez.
That's James Bruce Moore with Roy Benavidez from his new album, Soul's Journey Home. James is our special guest at the Folk Music Ontario Conference. We've been taping interviews with a lot of different musicians that you'll be able to hear on this show over the coming months. Chance to talk to James about an album that really does inspire people, and I think that was the thing that really struck me. I knew that when I first started to listen to this album that there was something more going on. And I think the more you get into it, the more you find that it does inspire you and I think leaves you a little changed. And I don't know whether, dare I say it, I'm at that same time of life as you where you're starting to think a lot more about who you are and why yes. you're here and what you're meant to achieve. But
yes.
you must feel incredibly gratified by the response to the album and the songs on it.
Yes.
I'm just wondering what that means for you moving forward.
It is so vitally important to me because as I suggested, I almost wanted to impart whatever knowledge, whatever wisdom, whatever hope, whatever courage or whatever lesson I could to the people who were listening to my music, and to elicit this response where people are actually moved by it, and many have said through repeated listenings that the intensity of that impact is actually increasing. And George Kohler actually made a nice quote, because that's the response that he had had after listening to it, after months of not listening to it. So I'm absolutely delighted, Jen. I'm so pleased.
So this album, I think, has just been out for a couple of months. Can you talk a little bit about the promotion of the album, the live experience, that sort of thing?
Yeah, so what we're going to be doing is more shows. We just did a wonderful video that was filmed at Trinity St. Paul's to really highlight one of the songs, Lovin', and we brought in the string section, and it was just an absolutely delightful day, and it's on YouTube, and it was just a wonderful experience to have all these wonderful string players supporting me in this very, very simple song, the message of which is just, express your love to your loved ones. Don't hesitate. It's something, it's an energy that, keeps us all going, and it's necessary to express it. And there's certainly no shame in doing it. So we will be planning a series of showcases and shows to highlight both the albums, the songs from Soul's Journey Home, as well as the first album.
I'm just wondering if there's an opportunity to partner with perhaps someone who does readings or, an author. I can see a real link between having the musical component of an evening that may actually perhaps someone reading from their spoken word or something like that.
Oh my goodness, I can't believe you just said that. A friend of mine with whom I had lunch recently, he's retired from a law practice. He's become a tremendous poet, and he just gave me a file folder full of these wonderful, thought-provoking poems. And I suggested to him at lunch, why don't we do a show where it'd be like the old coffee house days, where someone gets up and recites a poem, and someone gets up and plays. That's amazing that you suggested that, because I had exactly the same thought in a conversation about 3 weeks ago. It's a great idea.
Well, I think the thing is that, again, as I mentioned before, we're both at that stage of life where we're starting to,
yes.
To think a lot more about our place in the universe. And,
we are.
And maybe there's an opportunity here to advance that. It also comes to my next question. What happens next? What you know, is there going to be a third album that will further explore some of the things you're getting into?
There is, and two Fridays ago, I went in and demoed five new songs for George Kohler again at Number 9 Studio. And one of the songs that I want to get out right away is a song about refugees. And it's a driving song with about eight verses at this point. And the chorus is, "I'm a voice in the wilderness, sometimes upon, always a refugee." And it's about, and it's not just about the poor folks from Syria. You know, this world has a history of refugee crises. And I just wanted to write a song about it and raise some awareness and maybe, you know, raise some funds to help a family come here, actually.
So the hope is that you'll be able to release that song immediately.
Yes, and then the rest of the tunes, we'll just refine those a little bit more. And George and I are sort of thinking about that now and how we want, what instrumentation we want to have, etc.
Well, look, it's been a great pleasure to talk to you today. People want to learn more about your music and this album in particular. How can they do that?
You can go to my website, which is jamesbrucemoore.com. There are a couple of videos on YouTube. And if I may, I'd like to add that the proceeds from the first album, which go to Princess Margaret Hospital, the proceeds from the second album are going to the Sick Kids Hospital here in Toronto to something called the Music Therapy Program. And these poor kids are poked and prodded all day long by medical people. The Music Therapy Program is actually one where they bring in trained music therapists who help the kids write songs and compose and play instruments and this, that, and the other. And it's a very, very effective way to communicate as well as deal with stress. So I'm happy to be partnering with them too.
It's a beautiful album. I'm really thrilled that you were able to come in and talk to us today. Remember, the new album, James Bruce Moore, it's entitled Soul's Journey Home. I'd like to finish with a track from the album, and I thought it would be fun to play the final track, which is entitled Sigh Into the Universe. Do you want to talk about that?
Yes, this song was written as I was walking along a beach in Sarasota, Florida, and I was feeling tremendous gratitude. And as I was walking along, and it was a lonely beach one morning, it was a bit cloudy, and the waves were lapping in on my right, and to my left there was some very, very high sandbanks, and the sand had been building up over months of storms, and it got to a level where it couldn't sustain itself, and gravity started to cause it to slough off. And so I was watching the sand sort of fall back into the ocean, and then it sort of inspired this song, Sigh Into the Universe, which is really a sigh of gratitude to that higher level of consciousness that I was experiencing.
It's been a great pleasure to talk to you today. This is James Bruce Moore with Sigh Into the Universe from the new album, Soul's Journey Home. You're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
Thank you so much, Jan.
Like shifting sand across the universe. Sometimes love never stays the same. Sometimes love grows weak with age. But sometimes love grows stronger every day. You're not left wanting anymore. Only love walks through your door. Like the sands of time, you can't stop their fall. Can't turn to the way things used to be. So seek the light of love to set you free. There's no need to wait. When love calls you on, you're not left waiting for its warm embrace. Not left waiting for her song. That love can't be wrong. Promises to speak your sweet love song to you all night long. And say to you when you kneel down to pray. sing out to you, sing out sweet energy, to infuse your heart with warmth and care, infuse your soul, you do declare, I sigh unto the universe, rejoice in sweet surrender, absolute remember that just wait and see what's in store for you and me. There is a force to fill your heart, there is a plan, in time you'll see. That love can't be wrong, promises to speak his sweet love song to you all night long, and say to you when you kneel down to pray, to you the whole live long day. Loneliness gone, forlornness and despair, on the wind they drift away, replaced with love you want to say. That love can't be wrong, promises to speak his sweet love song to you all night long, and say,